Wonderful testimonies tonight. Thank you. Thank you. I always appreciate hearing the encouraging words of what God is doing and how He is moving, and what a wonderful thing that is. And that kind of offsets the Vikings' loss. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to ask you to please open up once again to the book of Acts chapter 12. We started a message, actually a little short series of messages here. 2 weeks in a row we ran them, and then we've had the last 2 weeks off while we had Jake came 1 week and spoke, and then we had the revival services. And so this tonight, we want to perhaps wrap this up. We were looking at satanic strategies and the things that Satan does in order to try to stop the plan of God. And, you know, as I have looked at this over and over, a question has come to my mind, and I'll be honest with you, I don't have an answer for it. And I'm throwing it out to you. Why did God allow James to be killed and Peter to proceed on? Why the choice there? Why the selection? You know, and we could look at that in a lot of ways, or for a lot of individuals. Why was Stephen, who was so vibrant and so alive and so active for the Lord, why was he allowed to be stoned? You know, while perhaps some others were allowed to remain. Those are questions that we kind of ask ourselves over and over. Why do we see sometimes young people who have a real passion for the Lord? Why do we see serious accidents that happen that take life? And yet we see others that go on for years and years. You know, and as I thought about that and just kind of looked at that, I realized that, you know, it doesn't matter what our conclusion is, because God is the ultimate authority, and that He has an appointed time. And I believe that with all of my heart. And there isn't anything that we can do that can change that moment that God has established in His plan. And although there are going to be things and times that I don't understand, I have to trust in God and in His wisdom and in His abilities to bring about His perfect will. And He will bring to a conclusion everything in this world exactly the way that He has declared it's going to happen. And so that's important for us to realize. I want us to go back to Acts chapter 12, and now let's look at this a moment. And then I want to share with you seven victory notes, kind of, as a conclusion to this series. Beginning with verse 1 of Acts chapter 12. Now about that time, Herod the king laid hands on some who belonged to the church in order to mistreat them. And he had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. And when he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. Now, it was during the days of unleavened bread. And when he had seized him, he put him in prison, delivering him to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending, after the Passover, to bring him out before the people. So Peter was kept in the prison. But prayer for him was being made fervently by the church to God. And on the very night when Herod was about to bring him forward, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and guards in front of the door were watching over the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared, and a light shone in the cell, and he struck Peter's side and roused him, saying, "Get up quickly." And his chains fell off his hands. And the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and put on your sandals." And he did so. And he said to him, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." And he went out and continued to follow. And he did not know what was being done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. And when he had passed the first and second guard, they came to the iron gate that leads into the city, which opened for them by itself. And they went out and went along the street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And when Peter came to himself, he said, "Now I know for sure that the Lord has sent forth his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting." And when he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, who was also called Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. And when he knocked at the door of the gate, a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer. And when she recognized Peter's voice, because of her joy, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter was standing in front of the gate. And they said to her, "You are out of your mind." But she kept insisting that it was so, and they kept saying, "It is his angel." But Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door, they saw him and were amazed. But motioning to them with his hand to be silent, he described to them how the Lord had led him out of the prison, and he said, "Report these things to James and the brethren." And he departed and went to another place. That account of what took place, to me, is just amazing. When we take a moment and realize that God, in order to accomplish his plan and his will, he will stop at nothing to be able to get that accomplished. Peter, as he is in that prison, remember, at this point, God has got a great task for him to accomplish. James apparently had accomplished everything that God had laid out for him, because Herod could not have taken James's life without the Lord's allowance. Now stop and think about that. Herod could not have taken James's life without the Lord's allowance. He allowed that to transpire. So James, at that moment, gets the blessing of being able to go and to be in the presence of the Lord, for his work was done. But Peter still had a great task ahead of him. And a part of that task was to be able to carry the gospel to the Gentiles. And in being able to carry the gospel to the Gentiles, it was also to help to oversee the fledgling new church that is just really beginning to grow and really beginning to expand. And so God wasn't finished with Peter yet. And so he would not allow Herod to touch him. Now, I don't know if you picked up on this through your reading or not, but when this event took place, now remember, there's guards all around Peter. He's chained to some of these guards. On top of that, there are guards by the door. And then there are guards by the gate. I mean, he was obviously a pretty high-profile prisoner. This has got to be someone really, really important for there to be that many guards placed on him. Now, those guards are there, and a bright light fills that prison. Doesn't disturb the guards. Peter stands. The chains fall. Doesn't disturb the guards. The door opens. Doesn't disturb the guards. They walk right past the ones who are just outside of the door. Doesn't disturb them. The gate opens to the outside where there are guards. Nothing. You see, folks, the importance of that is to realize that no matter what the intention of Satan was with Peter, God is the one who's in control. And he's the one in charge. It's important for us to realize. Nothing can happen to us but that it has first been filtered through the will of God. And sometimes it's not pleasant. Sometimes it's painful. But God is going to have his will completed in our lives. And he is going to make certain that his will is accomplished. Do you remember Jesus talking to Peter and saying, Peter, Satan has requested to sift you like wheat. But what? But I have prayed for you. But I have prayed for you. Isn't it encouraging to know that Jesus prays for you? You see, a part of his heavenly ministry right now is that he is our advocate. An advocate is a lawyer. An advocate is one who pleads the case before the judge. With Jesus being our advocate, that means that he is ever pleading for you and I before the Father. We ought to take encouragement in that and realize that nothing is going to happen to us but that it has first been filtered through the prayers of Jesus and the will of the Father. I want to share these seven things with you very quickly. Hopefully we can get them done in the next couple of minutes. The first reminder of our victory, if we are in the center of God's will, the first thing that we need to remember when something comes up against us, we need to remember that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. That's why he came. He didn't come to entertain us. He came to destroy the works of the devil. He didn't come to tickle us. He came to destroy the works of the devil. He didn't go to the cross for us to be able to write amazing songs about that event. He came to destroy the works of the devil. He didn't burst in to hell itself and take away the keys of death and hell from Satan just to make himself look good. He came to bring us victory. He burst through into hell to capture our hope and our eternity. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Second thing we need to remember is this: greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. Greater is he who is in us. Who is in us? Yes. Jesus Christ, in the person of the Holy Spirit, is within us. You know what that means? That means that we are more powerful than all of the forces of hell. As an individual, we are more powerful than Satan himself. And we don't need to cower. We need to stand up against evil everywhere that we see it. Stand up against it. Because greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. Jesus Christ is more powerful than anything. The third thing that we need to remember as a victory note is that we have been given power to tread underfoot all of the power of the enemy. We, as believers in Christ, as recipients of his grace, as individuals that the Holy Spirit has indwelt and cleansed and empowered, we have the authority over the powers of evil. And we have the authority to crush any attempts of Satan to try to destroy us. And how do we do that? Through prayer. That's how we do it. That's where our strength lies. It's through prayer. Number four. If God is for you, nothing can defeat you. If God is for you, nothing can defeat you. Again, Jesus coming before Peter and saying, Peter, Satan has desired to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you. Peter, after the resurrection, lived a life of power, and he lived a life of authority. He stood strong, even when it came to the moment of death. He stayed true to God. He had one little wavering in Galatia. But when Paul withstood him to the nose, Peter acknowledged his wrongdoing there. And as that took place, and as Peter lived, he lived a life of power. And God did many great things through him because of his obedience to God. Number five, the next victory note is this: you can overcome all of Satan's forces by the blood of Jesus Christ and the power of your testimony. Your testimony has power. Remember what a testimony is. Testimony is not the preaching of a sermon. A testimony is simply declaring what God has done for you. Whatever God has done for you, share that. There is power in that because it lets people know God is not asleep. He is still on the throne and he's still at work in people's lives. Never be ashamed to share the testimony of your life with anyone. Number six, the sixth victory note is this. You have available to you the whole armor of God. You have every bit of God's gift of protection placed before you to be able to use to defeat the enemy. So you don't have to submit to Satan. You can crush him with the power that God enables you with and by wearing the armor that God has given. And then the last thing is this. You have the Word of God as your sword, your offensive weapon. Jesus demonstrated for us how powerful the Word of God is. He was out in the wilderness after 40 days of fasting without anything to eat or drink, and Satan comes for the purpose of tempting Jesus. And he tempts him from every angle. He tempts him with physical needs, and Jesus uses the Word of God to respond to that temptation. When Satan sees that's not going to work, he tempts him with popularity. If you'll just bow before me, I'll give you all of these kingdoms of this earth that I've shown you. Jesus fights him with Scripture, with the Word of God. The third thing that Satan does is he tempts him in yet another way by trying to offer him authority. And Jesus fights him with, again, the Word of God. Folks, know the Scriptures. Know the Word of God. And no matter what temptation Satan throws at you, you will have the power to overcome it. Why did Peter survive? Why did James lose his head? James lost his head, believe it or not, as a gift. Because he immediately got to go into the presence of the Lord. Stephen got stoned as a gift because God opened up to him the glories of heaven, even while the stones began to fall. He got to see the throne of God. And I just love the way that the Scriptures record it. And it says, and Stephen fell asleep. That's awesome. He fell asleep while those stones began to fall. Why did Peter continue on? Because God still wasn't finished with him. Why are you here? Because God's not done with you. He has something that he wants you to do. Follow him, and he'll open up the gate before you so that you can pass through and accomplish something marvelous. Would you please stand?